Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they...
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Thousands trapped amid flooding at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada's Black Rock Desert have finally been able to leave now that the road is passable.
We just spent 4 hours in line to get out.
Rob Levitsky says he's been coming to Burning Man for 2 decades and plans to come again. But he wishes organizers had given more warning about the weather forecast ahead of this year's gathering.
I'm mostly prepared for hot, desert, dusty wind and not cold and wet and muddy.
First Lady Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID, and CBS's Ed O'Keefe says this isn't the first time.
The Bidens first tested positive for COVID-19 last year at the tail end of their summer vacations, and both the president and First Lady had rebound cases after taking Paxlovid. It's unclear if the First Lady is on any medication so far.
Jill Biden is experiencing only mild symptoms. It is back to work today for the U.S. Senate while the clock is ticking before the federal government runs out of money. CBS's Scott McFarlane has the story.
The Senate returns today to a Washington that is perilously close to a government shutdown. Just 25 days till a deadline to fund the government, to keep the lights on and the doors open at federal agencies. And there's gridlock between the Republican House and Democratic-controlled Senate. Republicans are trying to cut spending by tens of billions of dollars, including for diversity programs and climate change initiatives, and Democrats are opposed to new border wall spending.
Police are still trying to catch a convicted killer who escaped last week from the Chester County prison in Pennsylvania. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says he is confident Danilo Cavalcanti will be found, and soon.
We'll continue to push him hard. I intend to stress him. I want to push him hard. He'll make mistakes. He'll show himself.
Cavalcante's mother has recorded a message urging her son to surrender to police. Just because it's September doesn't mean the heat is done with us yet. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren has the forecast.
The temperatures over the next few days will be well into the 90s for the Northeast, triple digits in the Southern Plains, including most of Texas. The potential for record heat in the Northeast.
Record heat is expected to continue for the next several days. L.A. Dodgers pitcher Julio Urias is facing felony domestic violence charges.
He swings. And Urias has his third K.
Urias was arrested late Sunday night and released on $50,000 bond. The Dodgers say they're still learning the facts of the case, but Urias will not be traveling with the team for now. Urias was also arrested for domestic battery in 2019, but avoided prosecution by completing a domestic violence program. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 5th, and it's another beautiful, warm day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app, or by podcast, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're glad to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning. Here's what's on tap for this Tuesday. We will start southeast of disorder. As Jimmy Buffett would say, it's a little early in the morning, but we're going to raise a metaphorical boat drink to Jimmy and talk about how all the world, it seems, is noting the passing of a musical icon. We'll also hear from Christina Laurie this hour with The Uplift, a review of the uplifting stories she adds to our weekday newsletter. In the new blackout battle between Spectrum and Disney, is there even a good guy to root for? In our next hour, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about how Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is among 31 attorneys general helping the U.S. Department of Agriculture look for ways where companies are trying to remove competitive pressure from the marketplace in the ag and food industries, things that might not be a blatant, obvious monopoly, but still hurt farmers and consumers and capitalism overall. We'll also talk to Heather Heil from Leadership Green Bay to discuss their 40th year kickoff event. We hope to be visiting with Kristen Lyerly and Chad Holmes and Jennifer Fuchitsky from Weatherology. And along the way, if you'd like to be part of it, you can reach us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that number as well. You can send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching on one of the several Facebook pages where we run the live video feed of this year's program, you can leave a comment there, and we may put it up on the screen and show off your wisdom to the world, as it were. Aaron Zommers is down in Madison at the Civic Media Control Center, who had plans for camping this weekend, despite the near triple-digit temperatures. Did you pull it off? Did you camp?
Yes, I did. However, on Sunday, I was thinking about heading home, and then I realized, you know what? My car doesn't have air conditioning. So I stayed camping an extra day, and we mostly stayed – it was not tent camping. It was in a camper. We mostly stayed inside and blasted fans to stay out of the sun.
I was going to say you stayed – oh, so it wasn't air conditioned, but you had fans.
It was better than sitting in the sun or sitting in, yes, a metal can going down the road.
A lot of cornhole going on, I imagine.
A lot of cornhole. Also a lot of reading. Some of the time that we spent there was just four of us sitting around an unlit campfire because of a fire hazard and just reading our own individual books. And you know what? That was nice.
Hey, anything that's, again, it's Labor Day weekend. Everybody's supposed to take a break from the usual routine. I certainly did up here. And, you know, you're supposed to get cool, maybe go for swimming. Not quite the way they did at Union Terrace in Madison there. If anybody saw the video of a crowded pier collapsing into the water, thankfully nobody was seriously injured, but it was just everybody was trying to beat the heat. Even in Milwaukee today, Milwaukee Public Schools will dismiss early today due to the extreme heat. After school recreation and athletic programs are also canceled in the Milwaukee School District. So we'll have the full weatherology forecast coming up in the next hour. But yeah, it's still, I mean, I took the garbage out just a bit ago, and warm and humid is actually kind of an understatement. And for the 5 a.m. hour, it was impressively warm and humid, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. I walked outside. It may not have been as toasty as the other week, but I still had to swim to my car.
It did definitely feel that way. 6 a.m. temperatures up here on Lake Wissota. It is 76 degrees, heading to 92. So today is like not as stupid hot as the past couple of days, but still hot. Madison's at 76, going to be 91 today. Waukesha, 72, on the way to 89. La Crosse, you're already at 80 degrees and will top out at 94. Wausau, 74 right now, on the way to a high of 91. I was looking for anything cooler or more pleasant. None to be found. Wisconsin Rapids at 72. Hayward, 72. Ashland, 74. Heading to 91 up there today. Minocqua, 71. It's going to be 89. The best I could find you for relief, Sheboygan is at 68 degrees, and they're on the way to 81, where it's a little cooler by the lake. Aaron was engaged in a little interpretive poetry for us, and you're going to hear all about Jimmy Buffett coming up here. But Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth passed away, as did Gary Wright, who sang Dreamweaver back in the 70s. But you know, you were playing a little bit of All Star, and then you just kind of took over from there, giving us the interpretive poetry reading of Steve Harwell's All Star.
You know, my world's on fire. How about yours? That's the way I like it, and I never get bored.
Hey now.
You're an all-star.
It was, shall we say, surprising to see so many deaths in the music world. And then, you know, you look and Gary Wright was 80 years old. Jimmy Buffett, 76, and he had a rare form of skin cancer. Now, I suppose not the world's biggest surprise for what a beach bum he was. Steve Harwell, cause of death. Hey now, he was a rock star. His liver was shot, and he had quite the reputation. So, you know, you enjoy the ride as long as it lasts, whether it lasts till your mid-70s or your mid-50s, I guess. And we'll talk more about all that coming up in today's history lesson and music break that's on the way. When we come back, we'll unpack the news, look at some of the headlines of the past few days. We'll get a Brewers update. Your weatherology forecast is coming up. We'll talk about how the Brewers and the Badgers each did this weekend as well. Wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call.
Obviously, a lot of Jimmy today.
Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall.
This is A Pirate Looks at 40. And then he wrote a book, A Pirate Looks at 50. He wrote several books and plays, children's books. I'm going to read you a quote later from his book, A Salty Piece of Land, which I highly recommend as well. But first, let's get back to the business of the day. We're getting to the time of year where it's even less acceptable than usual for the Brewers to lose to a team that's 12 games behind them in the division. But the Brewers will have to recover from last night's 4-2 loss because the Cubs won and are now only 2.5 back of the Brewers now. Corbin Burns went 6 innings, but he gave up 4 runs. On 7 hits, 7 strikeouts, and Burns is winless since July 20th. That's a span of 8 starts without a W. Not always his fault. Depends on run support, of course, but still, that's not a great slump. The Brewers did take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies over the weekend, but now they've begun that 6-game road trip through Pittsburgh and New York with a bit of a whimper. William Contreras went 1-for-4. That was enough to extend his hitting streak to 14 games. But the Brewers also left 6 runners on base. Brandon Woodruff will pitch tonight. And then the series finale is actually tomorrow morning, our time. I think it's at 11:35, first pitch. You can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support in the Fox Valley and news from the center in the Richland Center area. Chaz Malusi ran for 157 yards for the Wisconsin Badgers, including 2 touchdowns, one of them for 89 yards. Braylon Allen added 141 yards and 2 more scores. And the 19th-ranked Badgers started the first season of Luke Fickell's coaching tenure with a victory over Buffalo on Saturday, 38-17. It was a sellout crowd at Camp Randall, 76,224. And it says here, that's the first sellout at Camp Randall since 2009, which obviously I don't follow. I could not believe that. I'm so used to, you know, Lambeau and, you know, all these other places selling out. And I guess I always thought Camp Randall was the case, but apparently not. Badgers are at Washington State on Saturday. Civic Media is your Badgers home on stations in Racine, WRJN, Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, Amory, WLAK, and Richland Center, WRCE, and Badger football games can be streamed on the Civic Media app. A dispute between Disney and Spectrum Communications resulted in ESPN, ABC, FX, National Geographic, and Disney-branded stations going abruptly dark for Thursday night's Spectrum TV subscribers owned by Charter. Both the cable company and Disney said the other side rejected short-term extensions that would have kept Spectrum subscribers access to the networks. I happened to see that live as it happened. I was at a local watering hole, as I'm wont to be. There was a college football game on one of the monitors at the bar, and then it went black for a little bit, and then up went this slate explaining that, this is ESPN's fault, not Spectrum's fault, something like that. Spectrum's owner, Charter, says they've lost 25% of their cable customers over the past 5 years, so they were seeking a deal with more flexibility, allowing customers to order some Disney-owned stations without being forced to take all of them. And it wants ad-supported streaming services included so that customers don't have to essentially pay for them twice. But Disney said its streaming and its TV products are not the same thing and therefore can't be bundled in a cable package. So the question is, are you rooting for somebody on this? Is it the cable company that's charging you triple-digit bills? Is it the big networks who are oftentimes the reason why you're paying massive triple-digit bills, because, you know, we're all paying, those of us who are cable subscribers, we're all paying for channels that we never watch. I saw someplace, you know, somebody broke down roughly how much of your bill goes to ESPN, which, or the ESPN channels, which some people never watch. How much of your cable bill, if I knew how much of my cable bill went to support, you know, Fox News and some of its channels, I'd probably go ballistic. But again, that's the way the communications industry tends to work here, is you've got to take these different tiers or these different packages. So I don't know that there's a good guy and a bad guy here, and there's no winners or losers, except the customers right now are losers, because the losers at Spectrum and Disney can't find a way to split up a very large pile of money. One more tangential sports note. I don't know how to say this. I said yes for the first time in, God, 15 years. I'm going to be part of a fantasy football league. So this is my shameless plug for recommendations for players and maybe for a team name, because I'm taking you on this odyssey with me, whether you like it or not. So if we're all in this together, if you've got a fantasy football team name, preferably one that incorporates, you know, the words up north, or, you know, at least north, we'll try to avoid the cliches with tundra, but, you know, maybe it can't be avoided. We'll definitely take those. Radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Excuse me. Now to unpack some of the news. COVID is spiking again. We were aware of that over the past week or two, noticing that cases were up, hospitalizations were up. Deaths were not necessarily spiking because, again, the treatment's getting better, but people are still catching COVID. First Lady Jill Biden is the most recent example. She tested positive over the weekend. Both she and President Biden have contracted COVID in the past. Jill Biden has mild symptoms. The president has tested negative so far. And if you wonder, well, how did this happen? Well, I certainly have my theory. The First Lady had traveled with the president on Saturday to Florida to inspect the damage from Hurricane Idalia. And we all know how the Ron DeSantis death machine has been chewing up people in Florida left and right. I don't even know how there's room for cemeteries anymore in Florida with all the COVID deaths, thanks to governors like DeSantis. But for those folks who, you know, looked at national polls over the weekend and found still some concerns about, you know, Joe Biden with his age, they worry about his health and everything, even though Donald Trump is only 3 years younger and not exactly ready for the cover of Men's Health magazine, if you know what I mean. I like this comment from Dan Moynihan on Twitter. Well, sure, I worry about Joe Biden's age. Like, what if he just refuses to work for much of the day, referring to it as, quote unquote, executive time? Or what if he starts to engage in paranoid fantasies and systemic lying, reflecting a loose grip with reality? Or what if he starts acting like a king and refuses to recognize elections, or goes golfing several times a week, or starts writing on hurricane maps with a Sharpie? I mean, at that point, yeah, you'd have to worry about Joe Biden if he did any of those things, but those things aren't happening right now. In fact, when you look at the field of Republican presidential candidates, I don't envy non-Trump Republican voters, because you're looking at a milquetoast presidential primary slate and wishing that you had someone youthful, energetic, well-positioned on the issues, the kind of dilemma that Democrats will be facing probably here in the 3rd Congressional District. And I bring that up because of some, shall we say, ridiculous misogynistic attacks against the one declared Democrat in the race right now, Rebecca Cook, small business owner from the Eau Claire area. And I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see more candidates coming into the race pretty soon here. But there's this right-wing, you know, blogger who pens under Wisconsin Right Now and put up this tweet over the weekend saying Rebecca Cook is a very pretty woman and probably very smart, just wrong on a lot of issues. And a candidate's looks shouldn't matter, so we're not trashing her looks. We're saying it's an age thing. Looking approximately age 16 could be a political challenge in a race for U.S. Congress for anyone. We're not saying Derek Van Orden is Clark Gable, but age equates with experience and gravitas in the minds of many voters. It's more of a challenge when running as a newcomer for a major federal office against a former Navy SEAL with multiple combat deployments. That's just a practical political reality, and it's an issue her team will have to find a way to minimize or turn into an asset somehow. Or... Republicans are already frightened. They're already realizing how indefensible Derek Van Orden has become. And they're already reaching into the later chapters of the usual Republican playbook to use her appearance as a negative somehow. Imagine talking like that when a very boyish-looking Paul Ryan was first elected to Congress. Go back and look at that photo and see if any of the usual Republican suspects were writing anything about that. But hey, you know, Derek Van Orden, gravitas, right? The guy was last seen screaming at Senate pages after a late night, quote unquote, meeting in his office where many bottles of alcohol were photographed. Van Orden is facing charges of bringing a gun into an airport, or he faced charges. He got probation for it. He screamed at a teenager in a library for having LGBTQ-themed books. He was on the U.S. Capitol grounds when a violent insurrection was getting underway. But yes, do go on about Rebecca Cook and her looks. It also looks like he deleted a post while taking a shot at white-collar workers because apparently only people who work with their hands are worthy of the Labor Day holiday, said the congressman, who appears to have lifted very little other than the empty bottles that were seen in his office. So, yeah, Democrats may likely have some good choices heading into the primary next August, and Republicans are looking at their presidential field only wishing they could have that kind of a, you know, youthful, energetic field that you have to attack for their looks. All right, won't dwell too much more on Jimmy Buffett here. We're going to get in and out of it throughout the course of the morning, but you will hear some bumper music in and out, and I feel bad. I can't get to them all. I played as many as I could on jukeboxes over the weekend. We won't have time to play The Weather Is Here, Wish You Were Beautiful, or even more things off of his 1990 live album, Feeding Frenzy, which is really what started it. For me, somebody gave me that CD in the early 90s, and I knew of Jimmy Buffett, obviously, but I only had to listen to that CD the first time, and I was hooked. I don't know if I qualify as a parrot head, but if playing that CD, what feels like nearly 1,000 times, qualifies me as one, then I'll take it. I've already recommended A Salty Piece of Land, and again, just because it's not going to win a Pulitzer, but it was great storytelling. And it has, much like his songs, has these little pearls of wisdom in there. And so we're going to close with something Jimmy Buffett wrote in A Salty Piece of Land. He writes about grief. He says, "Grief is like a wake behind a boat. It starts out as a huge wave that follows close behind you and is big enough to swamp and drown you if you suddenly stop moving forward. But if you do keep moving, the big wake will eventually dissipate. And after a long time, the waters of your life get calm again, and that is when the memories of those who have left begin to shine as bright and as enduring as the stars above." When we come back, Christina Lori will be here. She writes our newsletter over at Up North News. You can catch it by going to upnorthnewswi.com and clicking newsletter up there in the top banner. And Christina will have some of the stories from the newsletter this week in just a bit. You're up north.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Thousands trapped amid flooding and then mud at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada have finally been able to leave now that the road is passable. This man was glad to get out.
I had an amazing time. Would I want to do it again for another 3-4 days the same way as the last 3-4 days? Never.
First Lady Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID. Does the president have it too?
As for the president, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says he was tested Monday night and tested negative.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe. It's back to work today for the U.S. Senate, but questions remain about the health of the Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell.
The Kentucky senator had another incident in which he froze up in front of cameras and reporters a few days ago. The Office of the Attending Physician of Congress has cleared McConnell to return to work, saying this may be the after effect of a concussion and some dehydration.
CBS's Scott McFarland says McConnell is back as Congress confronts a possible shutdown. CBS News Brief, I'm Linda Kenyon.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs? Yes.
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back now with the Uplift to start off another week, a shortened week, a shortened work week, but it's a long week if you're a college student because you are on summer break. And now it's back to it starting tomorrow. Christina Lurie is here with the Uplift to make that central to our theme this week. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. Even better than I'm done with school. We don't have to think about that.
Oh, yeah. We just have to go to work every single day till, you know, our mid 60s. But, you know, let's be happy. We're not in school. Other people are throughout the UW system starting tomorrow. And it seems like you and I talk a lot about food. And that's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but if we're going to talk about, you know, people going back to classes across the UW system, let's start with, and not just the UW system, I suppose all Wisconsin colleges, and where you find good food. You know, there's more to college life than Domino's Pizza.
There are a few things that you know are just going to always resonate. Food is one of them. Packers,
yes.
Anything Giannis related. So that's why we keep coming back to this. And who doesn't want to talk about food? Specifically, I don't know. You know, food has really changed at colleges over the past even just 10 years since I've been out of school. My freshman dorm, it was very much that old school style They were serving two options, a meat dish and a vegetarian dish, and you ate what you ate, and that's what you got. Nowadays, these college dorms, dining halls are basically gourmet. They have eight different options, it's basically a food court all in one. So a website, niche.com, they scouted out to find the best college food in every state and then ranked the schools by that. You might expect the University of Wisconsin, just simply because of sheer numbers and the amount of funding they have, would be number one on this list, but it was not. Number one is St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure. Okay.
They got an A plus for their campus food.
Okay.
University of Wisconsin was number two. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in any of their newly renovated halls, you would immediately understand and smell why.
Oh, yeah.
University of Wisconsin Stout came in number three. And then fourth was a college I had never heard of. I'm not even positive how to say it. I should have practiced. Maranatha Baptist University.
Maranatha. Yeah.
Maranatha. Okay. Uh-huh. In Watertown. And then five was University of Wisconsin Platteville. But I did want to toss it over to you, Pat, and ask, what was your go-to dining hall food in college? And did this in any way contribute to the freshman 15?
No, what contributed to the freshman 15, I was going to say, is also the reason why I probably have never had a Tombstone pizza since college, because Tombstones, the pride of Medford, Wisconsin, back in the day, were the official pizzas that you could get at the front desk of the dorms. And that's really all you had. And you know what else was the brand new invention back then? Hot air popcorn poppers, which everybody thought was so convenient until we all realized it was like eating styrofoam. You know, the popcorn is so dry coming out of those things, but that's what we did. We had hot air popcorn and we had Tombstone frozen pizzas, and that was about it. In the dining hall, I wouldn't say that at UW-Eau Claire there was anything, you know, to necessarily write home about, certainly nothing that sticks in my memory. I just liked that they had a soup and sandwich option because I was one of those workaholics. You know, I was manager of the college radio station and, you know, doing other things. And they always had a lot of, I'm not going to say they are on par with, you know, a sandwich shop or something, but always a lot of variety that you could make your own sandwiches, a few different soups, just get something quick, get in, get out. But I don't know that anything ever counted as gourmet. What would Illini alumni talk about?
Well, when you started saying hot before you finished, I thought you were going to say Hot Pockets was the new creation then, because that was very similar to what my go-to was when I was in my actual dorm, because I was also a workaholic, didn't always make it down to the dining hall. I was very much the Totino's pizza rolls, the bagel bites, anything you could whip up in a very quick way, 30 seconds in the microwave was a go-to. But Illinois' dining halls, they did have a mix. There were some newer ones. I was just in an old dilapidated dorm that kind of had that typical we're serving what we're serving mentality. I actually lived in the same dorm that both my parents stayed in, my aunts like 40 years earlier. So, and they remarked that not much has changed, which is not necessarily the tradition you do want to carry on at these schools, but things have really rapidly changed since then. And now, I mean, when my brother went there just 2 years ago, there's like a make your own omelet station that's open to breakfast for dinner all day. I thought it was cool that we could make waffles all day. That was kind of my dining room go-to.
Kids these days, they'll never know the struggle that we faced when all you had was ramen noodles, you know? So, well, good on them. Now, once you've had your dinner, maybe you'd like a dessert. And again, more of these places have more dessert options than ever before. But specifically here, we're talking about just an ice cream flavor, a new flavor for a new chancellor. Tell us about that.
Yes. So if you've ever been to the University of Wisconsin, the Union specifically, Babcock Dairy and their scoop shop is a big deal here in Madison. And they always create a new flavor based on whoever the chancellor is. And of course, for the most recent previous chancellor was Rebecca Blank. She had Becky's Lime Pie, Key Lime Pie flavored ice cream. Jennifer Mnookin, she unofficially started as the chancellor kind of midway through last semester, but this is her first full school year. So she officially is a Badger now that she has her own Babcock Dairy flavor, and hers is Mnookie dough. which makes sense because cookie dough is the top selling Babcock ice cream flavor. So they rebranded it. It also happened to be her favorite type of ice cream. You can't really go wrong with a chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream with a fudge swirl in it.
Yeah.
So that's the latest flavor. You can get it at the different scoop shops. You can also get it in the newly renovated Babcock Hall, which reopened very at the tail end of last school year. So if you haven't stopped by, it really is a uniquely Wisconsin thing. It's perfect for America's Dairyland because you can see and you can also smell the cows that are right on site there.
No doubt. All right, good. Like having new options, and that'll be a nice popular flavor, I'm sure. So as we look overall at the UW over the years, people that were there long before us who, you know, basically had to grow their own food because it was so long ago. In the long storied history of the UW, many alumni and many who have accomplished big things. And so it looks to me like you're getting set to do a newsletter story about some of the more impressive things that have been accomplished by UW alums.
We are. And Wisconsin boasts a long list of impressive alumni. Dick Cheney is usually towards the top of that list.
For sure.
There's the founders of The Onion, that satirical newspaper. Mm-hmm. There's, of course, Charlie Behrens. There's J.J. Watt. But we specifically wanted to focus on the women alumni who are doing great things after graduating from the UW. So first, there's Angie Brooks. She's the first African woman president of the United National General Assembly. She was also the first woman to become a lawyer in Liberia, where she also served as assistant attorney general. Then there's Barbara Lawton. Remember her, Pat? The first woman elected Wisconsin's lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's crazy. The first female lieutenant governor was just 20 years ago. Then there's Belle Case La Follette. She was the first woman to graduate from UW Law School. And that happened all the way back in 1885. I was surprised that a woman graduated that early. Mm-hmm. She co-founded the Progressive, where she wrote columns pushing for women's suffrage. And then, of course, that led to Wisconsin becoming the first state to adopt the 19th Amendment. Nice. Then finally, there's Carrie Graves. She was the first woman inducted into the Wisconsin Women's Athletic Hall of Fame, where she was a three-time Olympic rower, winning gold and bronze medals. And just a special honorable mention, we should say, for they're not quite alumni yet, but the Badger women's volleyball team, they're definitely ones to watch. And just last week, their attendance record was shattered. They did previously have the attendance record for the most fans to ever attend a women's collegiate volleyball game with 16,000 in the Kohl Center. And then Nebraska just topped that last week.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, that was, 90,000, just unbelievable. By the way, for everybody who has either thrown something at their radio or whatever upon hearing, you know, Dick Cheney as the first alumni she mentioned, we haven't forgotten about Tammy Baldwin. We haven't forgotten about Russ Feingold. We haven't forgotten about Herb Cole, Bob La Follette. So there's quite the list that's on there. Gaylord Nelson, Bud Selig. There's a lot of notable ones out there who call Wisconsin their home. And you can see Christina do write-ups on some of these more famous alumni and what they've done as a way of tipping our cap for the start of the school year. Having had all that chatter, are you ready to kind of pull a Rodney Dangerfield and do a back-to-school type thing, going back at our advanced ages now and becoming students all over again?
Should we do it? Should we do some kind of undercover story?
Oh, yeah, I could really pull that off. No, I'm thinking much more. I suppose most folks now haven't seen that movie. It's 30 plus years old now. But Rodney Dangerfield playing a very accomplished, wealthy executive, but he's got to go back to college. So the movie was filmed at UW-Madison and try to impress his college age son. And, you know, hilarity ensues. So there's our movie recommendation for the week as well. All tied into the UW.
Maybe we should start a movie club.
There you go. So Christina Lurie has all this and more in the newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks, Christina. Have a great day.
You as well, Pat. Thanks for having me back.
All right. Looking at some of the comments here that have come in on the text line, Wes from Middleton referencing our discussion about a Republican blogger taking shots at Rebecca Cook. Wes writes, I think they know Derek Van Orden is in trouble if they're leading an attack is Cook looks too young and is a woman. Looks play some part, of course. For instance, Derek Van Orden looks like, I actually can't finish that. We'll do our own name calling. We don't need anybody else's advice on that one. Let's see. Coffee talk. There we go. Aaron, are we ready for coffee talk?
We could do some coffee talk.
This was also from the text line. Didn't get time for it on Friday. Lynn from Oconomowoc sent a note. We were talking about coffee. I forget the context of it, but she says, good morning, Pat. Regarding coffee, I'm just warming mine up in the microwave. My doc just told me no cream and sugar. Why? And then she says oat milk. Yuck. So apparently she needs to put oatmeal juice in there instead of cream and sugar. So anyway, she lists some questions for us. Question number one, Keurig, drip, cone filter, flat filter. For me, it's a big pot of coffee, so it's your typical flat filter.
French press is my way to go. I don't do it all that often, but I think it's the best.
All right. Do you grind your own beans? No.
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't used to, but then someone got me a coffee grinder for Christmas, and I was like, well, now I have no excuse.
Okay. Decaf or regular? Never decaf.
Sometimes. If I would have decaf, I just don't drink coffee instead, usually.
Right. Yeah. If I need decaf, I'll get, I've got a water bottle here or something. Black, cream, creamer, non-dairy creamer, sugar, sweetener. For me, it's creamer and sweetener. So I'm probably taking days off my life with every cup.
I prefer black coffee. Although I will say, if I do have like a latte or something, oat milk is my way to go. So I do disagree with you, Lynn. I think that its creaminess is very good.
What size mug? This is normally where I pick up the Up North News mug that you see me constantly with, and I realize I left it in the kitchen during the last commercial break here. So standard coffee mug. You?
Usually. For most beverages, I use a very large cup, but for coffee, I don't want to have too much.
How much coffee do you drink each day? I'd say I have two cups. I have two cups of coffee and then one Coke Zero in the afternoon. That's my full caffeine intake. How about you?
I do not have coffee every day, maybe a couple days a week. I don't always do well with caffeine, but I like coffee, so sometimes I drink it anyway.
If you don't have coffee in the morning, how do you feel the rest of the day? Do you get caffeine withdrawal headaches? Not if I miss one morning, but if I by that second day, yeah, I'll start to get the caffeine withdrawal headache.
And as you might expect, I don't really get those.
No. And finally, if not at home, do you have a special spot to grab a coffee? Well, being out here outside of town, there's not much for coffee spots. A Caribou Coffee did just go up near the hospital out here on the outskirts of Chippewa Falls, and so I've been there a couple of times.
I'm a fan of Wonder State Coffee near the Capitol downtown.
Last time I was in Madison. I was there with Todd Alba. Very friendly folks. Yeah.
He introduced me to it, and I thought it was really good.
All right. So there's our coffee talk for today. Thank you, Lynn. We appreciate those questions. Today's history lesson and music break are coming up next.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy today with highs around 89. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered storms, 69. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs around 81. Cloudy skies. Much cooler Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 60s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This will be the one time we don't start a segment with Jimmy Buffett. We will finish it with Jimmy, of course. This is Al Stewart and his 1976 hit single, Year of the Cat, from the platinum album of the same name. Al Stewart is 77 years old today. He also had a 1978 platinum follow-up, Time Passages, that a lot of folks remember from that time.
On a morning from a boat got moving.
I figured if I can only pick so many songs for this segment, and yes, today is also the anniversary of the birth of Johann Christian Bach, born this day in 1735, passed away in 1782.
He's not Bach, but he is his son.
That's the son of the composer. I was going to say, I don't have a song nearby. So I suppose it's even tougher for you to tell me that you have a Johann Christian Bach song.
Well, he is also a composer. A lot of his kids were composers. And this is like his 18th kid.
Oh, okay. Then I think I did right sticking with Al Stewart. The number one song this day in 1964 was by the British group The Animals. One very sad note in history from this day. In 1972 was the massacre of Israeli athletes at the Olympics in Munich. A Palestinian group called Black September took hostage 11 Israeli athletes. Two died in the initial attack. 9 would be murdered the following day. Freddie Mercury is born this day in 1946. Passed away in 1991, but not before launching, shall we say, a few hits with Queen. I have to tell you that I picked this song on purpose because my younger daughter and her husband play this song frequently for the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old. And I got the most adorable clip of the 1-year-old who's now starting to dance to things like this and dancing specifically to this song. The outlaw Jesse James was born this day in 1847, died in 1882. This is also, and I did have to double check, unfortunately, at his age, Bob Newhart is still with us, and today is his 94th birthday. And look, I get a lot of people only know Bob Newhart from his later work, basically as an old man, whether it's on Big Bang Theory or other guest appearances. Some folks of my age remember the old Bob Newhart show, or the follow-up show Newhart, which had the single greatest series finale of all time. Fewer people than ever recognize how he came to prominence. And it was as just this very deadpan stand-up comedian. And he had a routine where he would make phone calls. And you're only hearing his side of the phone call, of course. And the delivery kills you every time. And so, you know, Roger writes in, for example, he says, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" "Uh-huh, uh-huh. You know, you really should call what you are making, cream chip beef on toast." And Roger wishes a happy birthday to Bob Newhart, as do we all. This is the 60th birthday for Terry Ellis, co-founder of En Vogue.
All right. Yeah. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Singing.
Now, this is where I was going to very shamelessly, you know, make some comment about picking that for me, because Dr. Lyerly was going to be here, and then she was going to say, no, the song has nothing to do with you. Being an OBGYN, apparently babies are very naughty and they come whenever they want, so I don't know that we're going to visit with the doctor today. John Stewart, not the comedian, the singer-songwriter, was born this day in 1939. Let's listen to his single, his duet with Stevie Nicks, Gold. It went to number 5 on the charts. And you hear these very bold vocals. You might be surprised to learn that he was also part of the Kingston Trio. And also that he wrote the Monkees' number one hit, Daydream Believer. And I had to look it up, because I thought, wait a minute, I'm always hearing that Neil Diamond wrote a song for the Monkees. And that's true. John Stewart wrote Daydream Believer. Neil Diamond wrote the Monkees' I'm a Believer. And that's where we make the transition here to say farewell to Steve Harwell, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, who also did a remake of I'm a Believer for the Shrek soundtrack. Yes, the boy man haunted all my dreams. And then I saw her face. Steve Harwell passing away in just his mid-50s due to liver failure. We also bid a fond farewell to Gary Wright, who had a couple of big hits in the 70s, Love is Alive and Dreamweaver. Gary Wright was 80 years old and suffered for many years from Parkinson's and from dementia. And, of course, we'll wrap things up talking about Jimmy Buffett as well. And it's being said now that he passed away from a rare form of skin cancer. And, again, I'll save it for another time with Dr. Lyerly, but, you know, skin cancer is a very real concern. It wasn't nearly so when he was coming to prominence, when so many people in the 70s tried to, you know, get as deep a tan as they could get. And for some people, it would later catch up to them. Unfortunately, the same can be said for Jimmy. I saw one Jimmy Buffett concert. Unfortunately, it's the one I remember from trying to cut off my thumb. Of course, there's a story to go along with this. A Jimmy Buffett concert is a good time, and I can tell you that a good time was had by all, present company included. And it included, you know, a long tailgate party with one of those pre-made buckets of margarita. You just, you know, add it together and you mix it, and we were enjoying buckets of margaritas. And at one point, during a particularly good song that was playing in the parking lot, somebody very close to me, might have been me, I can't really tell for sure, decided to get on top of their vehicle, and as a couple of other people were, and kind of dance along. Well, that's what I was doing. That's what one does at a Jimmy Buffett concert. One dances along. And then I had to get down from the roof of the vehicle. Well, the vehicle was the family minivan that we had at the time. And so I grabbed, you know, those kind of those luggage racks on either side of the minivan that nobody ever uses. So I grabbed that. It was kind of like a, you know, like a handrail, and did what I thought was a perfect Kerry Strug dismount. But I ran my thumb along the edge of that luggage rack and sliced my thumb real good. And Sherry said, that's going to need stitches. And I said, nah, it's just going to need a margarita. And I dipped my cup in and I had another one. Fast forward a couple of hours after leaving Alpine Valley. And as we're passing Madison, I said, you know, if you want to stop at the hospital, it's okay. If it'll make you feel better, I'll go ahead and get some stitches. And it did make me feel better, and it made her feel better too. And I'm just happy to say the thumb is still attached through no credit of my own. Much more in our second hour here as we also bid a Jamaica farewell to Jimmy Buffett. You're up north.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. And it's like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.